see if I can say something that might benefit you. We'll read a little bit of the scripture. Now, I want to read in the 18th chapter of the first book of Kings. I've read the scripture numbers of times, but it seems to fit the hour in which we live right down to a T. I received a letter from Brother Wilson, and he's still asking us to come and run him a revival. The people are wanting us to come, and also some of them are asking for our tapes. And how do you believe it pays to do right? It pays to do right. God will bless you. I want you to pray that everything will work out right so that we can do right and do what God wants us to do. His wife, the sister, insists that we come right on because they have found out that she's got cancer. And they are hoping to be able to eliminate the cancer cells out of her body, maybe by operation or whatever. But she requested that we pray. And let's everybody try to pray and ask God to strengthen and to help her, because these things happen to everybody in the time that we're living in. If we don't pray, stay right with God, them things happens to us just like it does others. So let's just pray and believe God. Brother Marlo was telling me today how God had healed him of cancer in the past, how that he'd had cancer and God had healed him of it. All right. Let's read the 18th chapter of the 1 Kings, first verse. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400 which eat at Jezebel's table. All right. Speaking of Elijah, we have preached concerning Elijah many times. Perhaps one of the reasons that we have emphasized it so much concerning Elijah is that he is typical of the rapture of the church. When we talk about escaping death and not going by the way of the grave, it seems so foreign to people. And people seem to be so moved to believe that that is a lot of fantasy and that there's nothing to it. But yet it is a true fact that according to the Bible, that Elijah actually left this world in his body. And not only did he leave this world in his body, but Enoch left this world in his body. And I am persuaded to believe that Moses left this world in his body. I believe that. I have taught that, and I know that that is way out, as the world says, because as I live, I have never heard another man teach it. I have never read it. I've never heard it. And I have had men to dispute with me about it. Some of them don't believe that. But before God, I believe that he left this world in his body. And I believe that that is why that he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah and with Jesus. Because it was evident that Jesus was transfigured and was in his body. And it is also evident that Elijah, who was caught away, was in his body. Therefore, it is hard for me to conceive the idea that Moses was standing there to interrupt what God apparently was doing by not being in his body. So then I believe that he was in his body. And besides that, if he denotes the resurrected saints, how else could he be but in his body? For the resurrection is in the body. So then I believe that when Lucifer came to dispute with the angel over the body of Moses, that it was just exactly the way the scripture states it. That it was not over Moses' soul, nor over Moses' spirit. Because there was no reason for dispute over Moses' spirit, nor Moses' soul. In that the Bible said Moses was faithful in all of his house. It couldn't even be questioned, even by Satan. So there was no reason for a dispute over that. Then there could have only been one thing they could have disputed over, and that is that the angel death came to claim Moses' body, and Moses had been with God so long that he had moved into that other world, was covered over with the Shekinah glory of God, and had come into the same place that Enoch had in perfecting his faith, and then in so doing, that when the angel of death reached for the body of Moses, just as he ordinarily would do for anybody that had died in that day, that if the angel of God put out his hand, so to speak, and said, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan," and the powers of death could not take hold of Moses' body. So then, I believe that Moses went away with Jesus. And then besides that, if it isn't true, why haven't they found the grave of Moses? Why? Because the Bible speaks of God taking him up and burying him. You say, "Well, Brother Pike, you can't say God took him up and buried him up here." I brought that out on tape one night, how that you can do it. You know, you can take it up there and bury it up there. Did you know that? We are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. And you can bury it up there or bury it down here. And I said, "Well, I don't see that." Well, then tell me one thing. How is it that when the Lord said to Daniel, "Thou shalt rest in thy lot," how is it that when Jesus came, he went to preach to the souls in prison and loosed them that was buried down there and took them up here in paradise? How did he do that? Now somebody said, "Well, he took them up there in paradise and they're free and walking around." The Bible said they're in Abraham's bosom. which means a place of rest. A place of rest. Is that right? In the bosom of Abraham. So then it is obvious to me that Moses is alive in his body. And I believe that in the tribulation period that Moses and Elijah will return into this world. Now I know they say that'll be two prophets. Numbers of them say, well, that'll be two prophets. Going to be two prophets come on the scene and they're going to be Moses and Elijah. But you take it from me, Moses and Elijah is still alive. They're not dead by any means. And they're going to come on the scene themselves. Moses and Elijah. Neither one of them finished their ministry before. They still have some things that they have to do. And it's obvious that God prepared Moses for it as well as Elijah, because the Bible said that Moses, though he was old as far as age and years, yet his eyesight had not waxed dim and the natural sources of his body was not abated. And then we say, well, Brother Pike, that's so of any Christian. But that's not true, because the Bible said the prophet Ahijah, that was in the days of Jeroboam, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, the Bible said his eyes were set by reason of age and he was blind. He couldn't see, but yet when Jezebel came to the door, he could see enough in the spirit to tell her that she was the wicked wife of Jeroboam. That is the Jezebel of that hour, not the Jezebel of Ahab. All right. So we see that something great is taking place. And it's up to us to be hungry and thirsty so that we can get it. In spite of all that I do at Little Bethlehem, I still feel a group of people in our midst that is unworthy for the things of God, and they will not get it. Though you sit and listen at me, and though you hear what I say, yet you will not hear what the Spirit saith unto the church, because it's not going to be given to you, because you are not right with God in your heart, and I feel it. But there are some here that I feel that really want to go on with God. Now listen at me. When I say that, I mean there's a very few of them. I probably could count them on my fingers. That are here. That are really right in their spirit and ready for this thing that we're trying to bring forth. So then I tell you as your pastor and I tell you as your minister that you better do something. Little Bethlehem, you better do something and do something fast. Because God is getting the saints ready to get them out of here. And that peace talk that Jimmy Carter and the different ones had, that peace talk indicates that sudden destruction is lying at the door. And the rejection of the crown that the Pope rejected indicates that the days of the Gentile is over and finished. And that you that have not prepared your heart to get away from the world and the flesh and the desires thereof and the resentment, the hatred, the malice, and all of these things are going to be cut out. Now you say, Brother Pike, a little jealousy, a little resentment, a little fault finding, a little watching of television, a little this, that, and the other non-virtuous things wouldn't keep me out of heaven. My hand be raised to God. It is devils and demons, and you are defiled when you do it, and your body will be destroyed in the lake of fire. Now you say, God won't do it. If I'm a liar, I'll be destroyed in the lake of fire with you. Because the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You will die and you will go to hell. And you that love the Lord, that are doing your best to be clean and holy and keep every thought in subjection, and try to love and believe in me and in what I'm doing, not always accusing and finding fault and dividing and causing problems. You, just a few, as I said, I could probably count you on my hands. You are in line to receive the things of God, the wonderful things of God. Some of the very best people at Bethlehem, the very best of them, are in terrible shape. I'll go farther than that. You listen real close. Some of the very best has been up to this point on the verge of corruption and being a stink in God's nostrils and eaten by the skin worms. So you can see how closed it's going to be. Narrow is the gate, straight is the way, and few there be that find it. Just a few. As I said, I probably could count them on my fingers here. Now then, I'm going to refer to the board tonight as I talk a little bit. And I don't know how much that I'll say because I feel that mixed thing again tonight, though I feel a little difference. I feel some a little bit different, yet I still feel those that don't have any confidence in me and that really are just coming here out of routine. But I do feel a few of them that I feel indebted to God to try to tell them, Paul said, as much as lieth in me. And the other, then the Lord will just wipe you away after a while, and that'll be over anyway. And I won't be vexed by those things anymore. In this right here, in the three-dimensional projecting of the things of God that we speak of here, a lot of times I refer to the board because it can be so clearly be seen in what the Lord is doing. Here is three different dimensional outlines here. One, two, three, as we look upwardly, you know, looking up this way. One, two, three, as we look heavenly or heavenward. And then across this way, we also find a one, two, three, as we look from the beginning to the end. Everything in the world is typical of the invisible God in his act of creation. Everything. That is, as I said a little bit ago, you take the atoms, which are the smallest particles of light. That is a composition, a triune composition of particles of light. And so it within itself projects to the mind that's willing to dig down deep the three-dimensional projecting of God down, getting down into the intricate part of matter to where a person can really be a soldier of Christ and be mightily anointed of God and filled with the understanding of Jesus Christ. I pointed out a few days back how that if we read from bottom to top in a 1, 2, 3, one first power, second power, third power, and that is we could go on up to the seventh power, but the first, the second, and the third power upward, that we would be able to create within our understanding a thought pattern that would be profitable for us. And that if we start from left to right, and we also read a 1, 2, 3, a natural, a physical, and a spiritual, across this way, in a length projecting or an extensive projecting from the garden over to the millennium, that way we get a real good look at things. Now, you that know a little something about schooling, you'll understand this one thing. They have a law of positive numbers and negative numbers, just like they have a law in the atoms of positive and negative. In the numerical world of algebra or mathematics, they have the same thing. Isn't that right? They have an order of about 10 digits from 0 to 9. And they use those. And you can get a real good picture of how that everything witnesses to God if you'll listen real careful and look real longingly and be hungry and thirsting after the things of God. They can draw out like a scale here, and they can start up here, and they'll put 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 down to here. And then they'll put a 0 right in here. Now, and then they'll come over here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, over here. On this side where we're coming from the larger number down to the smaller number, we have a negative over here. Over here on this side, we have a positive number over here that's going up instead of coming down. In the middle, we have a 0, which is neither positive nor negative. Now, so then it's the same way with God, everything testifying to Christ. In the Old Testament, time is accounted for. Coming from the garden, it loses time all the way down. You have to count backwards, coming down, all the way backwards, BC, all the way, coming down, until finally you come to Calvary and it's the 0 hour. It's like when they get ready to launch a great ship. They get everything set up and then they count backwards like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, right on down onto the zero hour, and then off she goes. You follow what I'm saying? So then all the way from the garden coming on down to Calvary, it is the negative side of life. Everything on that side is the negative side of life. It is the Father's side of it, represented by Moses, but it's in the Father's side of it that Satan gets in. Because the Father's side is always the law of the home. Isn't that right? It is a restriction and it is a law. So then Satan, seeking opportunity and seeing a chance to slip in, what he did, he got into that realm. He got into the Father's realm in that he could get in there and use the law to gain strength by. It is no little wonder that they would use 10 digits, because Satan works through the number 10. And so then science, which is the tree of knowledge, relates right back to that. And when they come up with their scale of operation, it's a 10 digital operation. And so then as it comes down from the garden in the Father's realm, Satan getting his strength by the law. Thus he comes in. See, like the Adam, when we look at the Adam going down into the intricate part of creation, we notice that the electrons, as I said, if you magnified the Adam into existence, if it was as big as a pea, then the electron would be a quarter of a mile away from it. That quarter of a mile away electron going around this way. Now, going around this way, if you listen real close, I'll do my best to explain it to where you can understand it. The electron that's orbiting around the outside, just like the planets around the sun, that electron is what produces what we call the low level of light, or our everyday heat. Like, for instance, it is the atoms within coal. When they come together, the electrons, not the nucleus where the neutrons and the protons are, but the outside orbiting of the electrons. The electrons come together, and when they come together, then something takes place. The little electron is dislodged from its orbit and it struggles to get back, and through that, then that causes a light or combustion, which gives us fuel. Like, for instance, if I had a piece of coal and the electrons in it, if I took some kind of fire and I put under the piece of coal and I heated it to the point of what scientists call the latent heat of fusion. That is the hidden heat that's within that piece of matter called coal. Then the potentiality of that coal is released as those little atoms, the electron part, touch each other. As they come together, there is a combustion. See, and fire comes out. It releases its energy, and that is a low level of energy whereby we have our heating. It's the same way with the neon lights. The electron is dislodged, hurrying to get back to its little orbit. Then it causes the light. So it's a low level of light. But now, if you take and use what they refer to as fission, and they take that atom and they separate the nucleus, that is, go inside of the intricate part of it, down into those particles of light, move that electron aside, get in there where the neutrons and protons are, get in there and they strike that thing just right and force that charge, that magnetic charge that freezes them together to loose that thing. Then when she comes loose like that, there is a terrible explosion. And it's even worse. That's splitting the atom. But it's even worse if they take a couple of nucleuses and they work it like nucleuses and let them come together to tie themselves together in what they call not fission but fusion. Even that's worse. The explosion is even greater. I brought it out here one night that one atomic bomb, a nuclear bomb, weighing 1 ton was equal to 10,000 tons of TNT. Just one great explosion. You can't imagine that one tiny little atom or a chain reaction of atom, as it is, one will dislocate. See, like if it strikes the nuclear of one atom, then that dislocates an atom and then it transfers over to another, and it dislocates another, and another split, and a chain reaction takes off. You follow what I'm saying? See, the power down on the inside. Now, we spoke of how that the part of the pilgrimage of the children of Israel coming all the way down from the garden, all the way down to Calvary, how that it had a special significance. Coming all the way down, it had a special significance. It was the lineage of the first man, Adam. When it got to Calvary, then it continued the lineage of Adam, but the second man, Adam. So then it brought it down to Calvary, to a nucleus. It brought it from Calvary over to the millennium, which looks back on a nucleus. Counting 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, right on down till we get to the zero. Then it's picking up 1, 2, 3, 4, right on over to the millennium. From the garden, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, right on down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right on down. Then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right on over to the millennium. You understand what I'm saying? The restoration. So then there was a splitting of the atom. Right here at Calvary, there was a splitting of the atom. When God, who is the great light, the consuming fire, when he hanged the first man, Adam, made sin here at Calvary, being grieved because of the fall, hung him here as Jesus that knew no sin, making him sin. And here it was the first man, Adam. On the inside of this first man, Adam, which was earthly, was the heavenly Christ on the inside, live, hugging close together, right in there together. And when God began to come down as the great ball of fire from heaven, as the fierceness of his wrath came down, being willing to give man light and to bring forth life into the earth, there to split the atoms, when he came down with that great fire, fiery indignation of God, he began to raise this body of sin to the point of the latent heat of fusion. And as the wrath of God was poured out, Jesus took everything that the human body could take. And finally it reached that point as that hidden heat, as we say, come to life, as he demanded, as God, the great light, drawed the life that was in this body, as it came to life, all of a sudden it went as far as it could go, and a cry went out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then that was it. The change, the Bible said he yielded up the goat. He reached the point of change, and the atoms were split, and the great power of God moved in, and the Bible said the rocks was rent in twain, which was evident that the atoms in the natural had been split for the first time, and the rocks were rent in twain, and the heavens turned black into the heavens. The sun just veiled itself with sackcloth, and everything began to just turn black, and it was evident that something had taken place that had never taken place in the history of mankind before. So then God split the atoms. He divided the old Adam from the new Adam. He divided the Jesus from the Christ. And the Bible said the veil was rent in two, and the Lord was separated from the Christ. That is, the Bible said he made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ. See, the electrons on the outside being the Father's rim, the negative, whereby Satan gets in through the law. That dead part, the Jewish part, which was the body, shelled off of him and was laid down a negative charge. It was laid down the earth, negative, that is, without life, laid down, couldn't get out of the dust. And then on the inside, the neutrons and the protons of life, the neutron being the sonship part in there, which really had to do with motherhood, that part on the inside, the soul, which is the neutral ground where the battle is, here, that part and the protons was separated or forced apart as that great word of God came driving in, just like they capture one of those little electrons and put it in what they call a cyclotron, speed it up like that, and turn it loose to hit its target.
It went in there and it separated humanity from God right there. You understand what I'm saying? Because humanity had sinned and the Jews became a scapegoat, was put down into the earth, and there the atoms was separated. The spirit was separated from the body. All of a sudden is the neutron part came loose, just like the negative part, the Jew, the body, went into the earth. Then that neutron part, as it came loose right there, that soul part, it had to do with the powers of Rome, the motherhood, the church ages set in. As that part started its pilgrimage from Calvary for the birth of the child, all the way down through the church ages, motherhood. And that was the blood part, the soul part. It had to do that because, see, the red dragon is in the sun realm. He's neutral. He's neither hot nor cold. And Jesus said, I beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. See, the light then came into the earth. I know when we think about the light, we think of the man that lifted up the key, don't we? I brought it out about the kid flying the little kite. He'll make his little kite, put the little cross pieces in there, a little two-stick kite that symbolizes Calvary. And he'll stand in there and he'll fly his kite, just like Benjamin Franklin did, flying the kite. See, and there it was, Calvary being the key to the situation. Putting that little key on that little string. And I know you've done this, I've done it numbers of times. When I was a boy, I'd put a little note on there. And I'd give it a little shove, and I'd work it, and I'd flip it, and I'd work it. And I'd send a message, you know, up to Calvary. I'd send a message. And that's the way it is. Little children praying to God, sending a message up, looking back at Calvary. And here between heaven and earth, as this great thing took place, and we see it when we see a cloud come up, we see the storm clouds, and we see the dark clouds come rolling together, which indicates the evil and the storm. Then we see the clouds that come so fluffy with a silver lining that indicates just a beautiful moisture and a rain that will water the crop. And when the hot and the cold clouds begin to come together up in heaven, we see Calvary all over again. Satan and darkness and light coming together. And then the power of the great explosion and the thunder rolls and the ground quivers and the lightning comes streaming down from heaven. See, the light coming into the earth because the atoms were split, coming down to give us light in the earth. But God is so fixed in that the first act of it being Benjamin Franklin, when they come into this new world over here, the God is so fixed it to where that is the little electrons coming together, giving us that lesser level of light. See, people who are out yonder that's under the grace of Jesus, they are not really under the grace because they're beast, but they're out there under a grace momentarily. But not really under the grace of God. And being out there, they are reckoned to be accounted for with Egypt and with the father's realm back there, Moses. You understand what I'm saying? That's when the Jews are considered dead, because them people are dead in God's sight. They have grace because God has made the wicked people of this world dead in his sight, to where he won't have to do nothing to them until the church finishes maturing and the church ages are over. And then God's going to pour out his wrath on them. He's going to bring them to life right at that last minute, and all that they did not know about religion, they're going to learn. And in that they've been protected because they didn't know, all of a sudden they're going to know, and it's going to be required. It's going to be a great religious age. It's coming in now. All right, now, in this, the lesser light came into the earth. What was the lesser light? It was the intellectual tree of reasoning, of the knowledge of mankind. A light, because we have to have that little educated light, that little college light, that little tiny candle that compared to the great sunlight of God. And that little light is out there. We have to have it to keep a bank and to keep an automobile and to turn a hunk of metal into something that would be beneficial. To get together a few little things there to where we can make a radio and whatnot. Make us a set of false teeth and whatever's needed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have to have that little lesser light to give us some fuel and to take care of us in this world. That little intellectual knowledge out there. But brethren, the church is the great nucleus of God. And right in there, where God strikes that nucleus to separate it, that's not a little candlelight, But the Bible teaches that the heavens shall roll back. That thing struck at the right time, and the heavens shall roll back, and the Son of God himself shall appear in the heavens, and the light shall be so blinding that it'll outshine the noonday sun. Not a lesser light, but a great light that shall be called the light of the world. God's Word, Jesus, the Word, God splitting the nucleus, God hiding himself within the intellectual thought of darkness and making it sin and hanging the Word up here and splitting that Word and bringing it, the Spirit out. Christ, Spirit and life. Because here is a human body, flesh, but on the inside there's two powers that's in there. There's the power of evil in there that's a spirit. There's the power of righteousness, and God is going to separate it. He did it here at Calvary. And Jesus said, when I saw this, I saw as it was lightning that came down from heaven. See, the light coming into the earth, Benjamin Franklin, the little kite, hanging between heaven and earth. There, the light coming down the earth. I beheld Satan, he said, as lightning. What does he mean by that? I beheld him as an education, as a knowledge, as an understanding, as he not only was in the heavens, but through grace he come down into the earth, and he set him up a bank, and he set him up a dentist's office, and he set him up a doctor's office, and he set him up a school, and he set him up a racetrack, and set him up these things of the world, being the prince of the world. I saw him as light come down to the earth, Jesus said. Now, in this, hanging between heaven and earth, this great Christ, this great Jesus, the little boy and his kite, the key to the situation, Jesus gave Peter that key. It is said so many words, it's just tied on a string, Peter. And I'm going high into heaven, way up to the throne. And every time you want me to give a little tug on it, you got the key to the situation, and I'll receive it on the other end. I'll tug back, and you'll know that I'm up there. All you got to do, just look in this direction. Like in the wilderness, look on that one. It said, lifted up as a serpent of the wilderness, look on the brazen serpent, you'll be healed. All the devils and demons will have to leave you alone. All right. So then, in this, we see the great dividing. See the great change. See the great thing that took place. Now, if the nucleus had to do with the woman, which is the casting out also of the blood life, in that the birth comes that way, then we see going through the church ages, represented by an earthly church, that thing took place. Now, in that, there came a separation of Cain and Abel, Esau and Jacob, running side by side in the earth. See, the two, one of them being a beast, one of them being a son of God. See, it was separated. God separated and took Cain out of the lineage, of the son of God lineage, and numbered him with the beast. And he said, I'll be like a beast. They'll seek to kill me like a beast. Now, this sounds pathetic, but can you imagine that out yonder in the world, that them are beasts? Like you had a dog and a cat that could talk and they could convince you that they ought to be ruling over you instead of you ruling over them. Can you fathom such a thing? You say, Brother Pike, that's pathetic. It's absolutely that way. Them people are actually beasts, not sons of God. They don't have eternal life. The beast has convinced you, who owns everything, that they should rule over you. And they're out there a beast. Think about that. And here you are, the lineage of the Almighty God that owns everything in heaven and earth, and you're letting him do it. But the Bible said the saints shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. That little lesser light down there. All right, now, in that this happened, then we see the neutron position of it as it goes on down through the church ages. But look at the proton position of it. See, it is the protons that become positive. If they become positive, the atom is positive. And a positive atom, see, a positive atom, that is if a few electrons are taken away from it. And that's what happened here. The Jews were shelled off over here and went down the grave, take away a few of the negative charges, and then the proton takes on a positive charge. And here, when that nucleus was separated here at Calvary, which is to be made manifest in the last days when we comprehend it by faith. See, no matter what God did, it's not applied to us until we comprehend it like Enoch did. And then we go away. Now, so then we see the protons, which is the positive side of it, making the atom positive just as quick as the negative is smitten, which is the Jewish part of it, laid away a scapegoat for the Gentiles. Here, Paul said the casting away of the Jews, be the reconciled of the world. All of a sudden, this thing becomes positive. They dislocated or dislodged them little electrons, and all of a sudden, that it caused that atom to become positive, and it turned it into what they call ions. And when it turned it into ions, it speeded it up. It really speeded it up. And it come up to that, what they speak of as the alpha and the beta and the gamma rays, which is fast moving particles, exceedingly fast moving particles. And when it speeded up those ions, this little spaceship right here, the first man that ever went into space, do you believe that? The first man, Shepherd, right here, all of a sudden it speeded the thing up, and up it went into the heavens, and he stood there and waved goodbye to him and ascended up into the heavens. He went away to be with God. Hallelujah. See, something takes place. Every time you get rid of the old negative side of life, it speeds up the ions of positive thinking. It speeds up the protons of positive thought and understanding, and powers released in that body, and all of a sudden you find yourself going away to be with God. That's why I declare from the heavens tonight that I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time that I come back down there to you. Hallelujah. The redemption or the restoration of mankind. Alright, so then we see that something great and spectacular is taking place. That God is doing something. The countdown coming over. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, right on down till zero, and off she goes into the heaven. Right here. By the power, the propel of the energy of the Almighty God, when that spiritual energy began to give off, when God turned the Son of God, who is a potential energy, into a kinetic energy, began to put nurture in there, and turn it into a moving, a quickening spirit, and off it went. The power of God translating the church, translating you and I, every one of us, God is doing that to us. If we get rid of the old negative side of life. You understand what I'm saying? Now, out yonder in the world, they can't take on the positive charge because they're still alive in the old man. You got to get rid of those electrons, the negative side of life. Lay the old body down. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then you start taking on that positive charge. See, they're not sons of God, so they're not potentially God energy. Is that right? No, sir, they're not that at all. They're beasts. They'll just bog down. The Bible said the soul of the beast go down. They'll just bog down the thing and blow up with them when they get ready to take off. All right, now, in this, we see that that part that was positive went into heaven. See, the church went into heaven, which is represented, as I say, if the neutrons represent the Catholic Church or the Dark Age, the spilling of the blood, the birth of the child, the woman, if those electrons, the negative side, represent the Jew, the death and burial, then that means that the protons represent the church, the positive side, which is represented by the Protestant age over here, which is typical in that it's the land of milk and honey. In this, we see the splitting of the atoms. We see the change that all the way from the garden, it is negative, 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 all the way down. But brother, here we see that from that time the negative is laid away, the scientific mind of the priesthood of the royal sons of God begin to work on that atom. And that motherhood comes right on down through the church ages, neutral, 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 right on down to the end where the church shall be sevenfold in light at the end of the church age, not a lesser light like mankind's God of that came down from heaven, but that great light, sevenfold light, that shall outshine the noonday sun, called the revelation of Jesus Christ in the end time. So then, not just a revelation, not just a particle of light, but that revelational mind of the Almighty God that makes known the mystery of godliness, that is Christ within you, the hope of glory. All right, so then we see this in this three-dimensional projecting, and even though there's a number of things tonight that I wanted to bring out in trying to spotlight a few present-day truths that seem like I can't get around that far, but I will get around to it if the Lord will help me. But tonight, we've got a great hope in God. We've got a great hope in God. And what we want to do is get in there and press in. Forget about this fussing and feuding and fighting and letting our minds dwell on that old negative muck. And get out of the hog pens and get our minds on something for God. You love Jesus? All right, the time is getting short. And brothers and sisters, there is something going on. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to close. Remember this, when Peter went up on the mountain, there with those two men that was with him. There was three people standing on that mountain, but Moses was there too. So was Jesus there too. So was Elijah there too. All three was there. And Peter, being excited, you remember, he made a statement. He said, let us build three tabernacles. The reason for it, he saw three people that would be occupants. Isn't that right? He saw the law, he saw grace, and he saw the prophets. Right, represented right there. And see, he knew that on the earth was three men that represented that. You know, James and John, the sons of thunder, you know what they have to do with in reference to what I'm saying? Here, those men, see, three tabernacles there. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, Peter said, as three occupants, or as in earth, so in heaven, or as in heaven, so in earth. Three tabernacles. And said, let's just make three tabernacles. But God said, I'm doing away with the law, and I'm doing away with the prophets, and it's the end of the law and the prophets, and there's just one thing, that's the revealing of my Son, Jesus Christ. There'll be one tabernacle, Peter, just one. And so he pushed all the rest as the lightning and the thunder took place concerning the other tabernacles, the sons of thunder. He pushed it all away. And then from that came the key to Peter. And Peter became the tabernacle in the earth as the first pope. So they refer to it to represent one tabernacle in the earth. That's why God doesn't do anything with the Jew when the Catholics got it. That's why he doesn't do anything with the Catholics when the Protestants has got it. It has to be 1, 2, 3 over to the Protestants and 1, 2, 3 back to the Jew. And we're living in the hour right now when she's headed right back to the Jew for the great millennium change. So then, let's beware, because sudden destruction is at hand. Let's everybody stand together. Moses didn't die. He was carried away. Passed through those regions. The prophet likened to Moses, Jesus, passed through the regions of the dam. But he said, I lay my life down, take it back up. So he didn't have to die in the sense that death is accounted for as the loss of the soul. We do not have to die because we have passed from death unto life, and our soul cannot die. We're accounted for as those that have passed through and moved up into the heavens with God. So then tonight we don't have to die. All we've got to do is wit to acknowledge, come to the understanding, grasp, or accept the redemption of our body. Our faith has to mature to that level, and they can throw all the caskets in the sea because the ground can no longer swallow up those that belong to God. What a wonderful hour to be living in the time of the coming of Jesus and the great hour of the Son of God. Let's sing the little chorus together. Ask the Lord to help us hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. If you have ears to hear, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. If you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. People are going to start rushing in looking for light because gross darkness is going to cover the people. And they're not going to have any strength. They're going to be weary in their way. And they're not going to have any strength. Demons speaking to them and evil thoughts coming to them and undermining things will make them feel like that they don't even have any stability to keep from doing vile, wretched things. Just urges will get a hold of them. See, but that's why we need to be a brotherhood. That's why we need to stick together. And they're going to start searching for the light and looking for strength. And like Brother Marlo said about a vision he had where he saw the great earthquake and the great amber light come in heaven, and said to the people, it looked to him like was rushing for little Bethlehem. Said it was rushing up the highway, just cars everywhere.
And Brother Bill was telling me, I believe, yesterday or right recently that he had a vision that is so many just multiplied people around an auditorium where we was trying to preach the gospel. And then somebody else has had a vision, said there's so many people that they couldn't get in. Now, I know one thing. I know something is about to happen. Not that it's about to happen, it's already happening. But it's about to happen in that they are about to recognize that it's time to get out of this world. Time to get out of this world. Let's sing this song together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Can you sing it with me? Oh, Savior, oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And why on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, Savior, oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Go leave it there, oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Help will trust, don't ever doubt. God will surely lead us out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fast, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me, will you? Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust, don't ever doubt, Christ will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. While they're playing on the organ, let's come down to the altar for just a few minutes, can you? Can you do that? Just for a few moments. Just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Praise God. You love Jesus? Let's sing this little chorus, can we? We'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll overcome someday. We will walk on streets of gold, walk on streets of gold. We'll walk on streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll walk on streets of gold someday. I'll shake my Savior's hand. I'll shake my Savior's hand. I'll shake my Savior's hand someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll shake my Savior's hand someday. Hallelujah. Don't you feel Jesus tonight? Let's just lift our hands up. You know, there's a lot of good thoughts in life, but there is no thought like the thought of not having to die. Isn't that right? Not having to die. You know, it's hard for us to believe that God, who is a spirit and spiritual things that preachers preach, could ever have anything to do with this natural body and these natural genetics. These blood genetics, isn't that right? But that Spirit of God came down in Enoch's blood veins, and it got into Enoch's blood veins and it began to change him. It came down in Moses' blood veins so much that his face began to be illuminated with the glory of God. It came down on Ezekiel so much, it picked him up, carried him over to the Valley of Dry Bones and transported him and set him down in the Valley of Dry Bones. And it got into Jesus' veins so much, it completely translated him, took him down through the grave and brought him out of the dust. And God called that the purchased possession. That's right, that's what he purchased with his blood. This other is the earnestness of our inheritance. But we got a purchased possession that's coming into bodily redemption, that is the body. That is the body, is that right? That is the body. God is going to change this body. And there's so much that's already been done that you can't see and that you don't understand. But God is going to change this old body, and it ain't going to have to go down in the dust. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Something happening to this natural body. I feel it, don't you? I can feel it. I can tell it's happening to this natural body, Ted. There's something happening to me. I'll tell you right now. The glory and power of God. I feel it going to my body. The power of God changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of the unveiled God is changing me. From glory to glory as I behold the revelation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus. The light of the glory of his unveiled face. Can we?
Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. Of his unveiled face. Of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ. The Father in the Son. It's sin, thy shining glory, that we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like him. Oh, let thy will be done. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. We're shouting the victory. We're shouting the victory.